The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Radio 24/7. Welcome to September 1st, 2017. We're going to do a couple things like we always do. I tell people to stand up, but I don't know if you do or you don't. Deep breath through the nose, out through the mouth with power, and say, I am a winner. I am a champion. Say that to yourself, just those two phrases alone, repeatedly. And watch how your life will begin to change. I don't know if everybody believes that or not, but I can tell you the things I'm doing are amazing. And remember this too. When you were born into this world, we were all born winners. You choose to be a loser if that's what you feel you are today. Who you surround yourself with, who you want to become, you're all winners. Remember that. And don't let the outer world destroy you, because if you do, it will happen. You live from the inside out. Always. Secondly, I'm going to read two excerpts from two of my favorite books. And one of these books, as I said, my mom found, you know, long after my dad had passed away. And my father was from New England, as in Boston. And he died, and he went, lived to his last day with that accent. And Vince Lombardi was the only guy I know that wasn't from Boston who coached the Green Bay Packers, my dad loved. And Vince Lombardi and my grandfather looked a lot alike. I'm going to read an excerpt out of Lombardi. Winning is the only thing. It was edited by Jerry Kramer. And he's. We're going to just go from here. I saw the movie Patton, and it was Vince Lombardi. The situation was different, but the thought was the same. We're here to do a job, and each and every one of us will put everything we've got into getting the job done. That was Vince. Patton believed in reincarnation. Who knows? Maybe it was Patton who coached the Packers. That was his man, Frank Gifford. Secondly, Of Stones and Strength by Steve Jack and the late Peter Martin. This is very short, and you know me, if you listen to me, I love chapter 33, page 106 and 107, from The Sons of Sisyphus. It's one line by our pal Steve Jack, who, if it wasn't for Steve, I never would have got into stone lifting and never thought of getting on Icelandic air, twice to go lift the stone. And this is what he says. The struggle itself toward the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. Think about those two verses I read to you and apply them to your life accordingly. Next, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, Winner's Circle. As I said, I think it's one, if not one of the best products out there, and it's from 15 years here at the FBC Stone and Steel Yard. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you like strength, you want to be strong, you want confidence, you want to be tireless, decisive, you want to pursue specific goals, and if you feel that being strong is a requirement for your life, then jump on out there, order the Winner's Circle, and start your life. That's 13 modules, a minimum of a half hour long, that will take you to movements you've never, ever used before, I guarantee it, and we are going to keep building it. So for $247, divide that by 13 and all the material in there. And while you're buying it, tell 10 of your friends. We would appreciate it very much. Also, contributions are out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. If you like the show, send me money for a coffee, for a lunch. Go out to our PayPal account, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. But if you go out to the contribute page, there's a 25, 50, and 100. At the 25, you get the brand new module from the Winner's Circle called The Beginning. 50 will give you the beginning and a half hour of free consultation with me. $100 will give you the beginning and 2 half-hour free consultations with me. Look, we've done a lot of good things for people out there. We're very lean, but we're going to be here for another 30 years regardless. The show is growing. We need to do a lot of things, and if you would like to help, you would be very much appreciated. So go out there, check that out. It's PayPal. It's seamless no matter how you look at it. You're in, out, donate whatever you want, and thank you very much from everybody here. Also, too, motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look. We're probably at least 25, maybe even closer. We're almost at 800 podcasts in less than 3 years. Our anniversary is the 27th of this month. We'll be up 3 years on the air. And I've done this on my back. I've carried this whole show pretty much. In fact, building it from the ground up, I couldn't be more proud of it, let me tell you. I could not be more proud of it. And a lot of people have helped me out, especially our family of guests who are on here with me. But it's one of the most, it is, if not, it's one of the biggest things I've ever done in my life. To start with one podcast and have no experience and get behind a mic and do it. Think about how many people could do that. Not many, because I know. They tell me all the time. But that doesn't matter. The idea is here. When you come out and listen to Motivation and Muscle, I don't care what's going on in your life. You listen to these people who are on this show with me. Your life will change for the better. You want to walk around with a grin on your face. You want to walk around with success in your back pocket. You want to lead. You want to offer solutions. Don't bother going and listening to anybody else. Listen to a guy that's authentic, totally. I will not change whether I've got $5 in my pocket or $5 million. I know what I've got to do. We've got a 30-year plan. Stick with us. Bring your kids in. Bring your wives in. Whomever. You're all welcome to my family. And thank you for all the listening and all the things we've done. We're going to do a lot of things, too, the end of September, early October, with different people I'm going to invite on here. We'll probably be doing a lot of three-way calls. But, as I always say, you know, we love having people on here. And today, before I bring them in, we've got Dr. Dale Dugas on. Now, Dale, I met, well, we have mutual friends. Matt Fury, who's been on here recently. And Dale had done an introduction show with me, and we've been going back and forth, and Dale promotes my stuff, and I promote him. And we got into a thing where I sent a note to Dale, and I wanted to get him involved in our sand dune project. And I thought he'd be dynamite for it because of the martial arts and all the other modalities he's in. So we sent one, and we've been going back and forth, and he said, when would you like to get together? And I said, look, I'd like to get him on because not only is he interesting, but we're going to get a little more, I'm sure, on the sand dune today. But we're going to talk about old-time kung fu training, which is going to be very interesting because I've got a lot of questions for him. And before I bring Dale in, I'm going to give you a little introduction on this gentleman. Number one, he's an acupuncture physician, and he's a board-certified Chinese herbalist. And if you go out and see him, he's all over Facebook. He's doing some pretty interesting stuff, and he was kind enough to send me a lot of his products, his liniments, second to none out there. So without no further ado, Dale, welcome back to the show, brother.
Welcome. Thanks for having me back, Eric. It's an honor to be here and to be speaking with everybody in our listening audience.
It's an honor to have you on, believe me, and I can appreciate all the things you do out there. Anything I missed, websites, anything, please give it out, and we're going to get into today's subject.
Sure, of course. If anybody wants to contact me, I have two websites out there on the interwebs. You can find me at www.oldtimekungfu.com. Just spell it out, OldTimeKungfu.com. You can also find me under my website under my own name. You can go to www.daledugas.com, and you can find all the information about how to contact me, what services I offer, and what I do, you know, to help as many people as I can.
Absolutely. And that, if that isn't the best thing to do, I don't know what is. One thing before we start, I do want to give Matt Dahl's number out for the sand dune. I forgot to do that. 714-995-4500. And he will call you back if you don't get a hold of him. Matt is one of the nicest people I've ever dealt with. Tell him Motivation. You get 10% off the Sand Dune Stepper, and you get free shipping in the United States. And believe me, it's not cheap. And Dale can attest to that because he's sending stuff out all the time. You know, this is very interesting subject, old-time kung fu. And, I've read that book. Was it Earl Lederman who wrote where the basically Kung Fu, the television series, was based off, I think. But I'm sure that's a lot different, but it was very interesting when you brought that up. Why don't you define for everybody out there what old-time Kung Fu training is to you, please?
Well, old-time Kung Fu is basically looking at all the old-school training methods and systems that, you know, have been developed in China. Now, I've trained in other martial arts, but I've pretty much stuck to mostly Chinese systems. Why?
Yep.
The breadth of training they have, you know, unarmed training, calisthenic training, you know, equipment training, impact training, weapons, application. If you get into a system that is, you know, been around for a long time and what we call complete, in other words, they have training in all different areas of physicality and physical culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just learning some forms and trying to, you know, be a ninja or something. They actually, what you see in the media,
yeah,
you know, in magazines and in movies, it's a bunch of hooey.
Yep.
And the real training is actually to nourish and to make your body, mind, and spirit stronger and to live a long and fruitful life. That's actually what that means.
Yeah, well, I want to tell you something before we go on because the light bulb just went off. We got to get you on with myself and Dr. William Wong.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I love Dr.
Oh, I got to get you to – now I know you guys will tear it up. All right. You know, you hit a big thing right here with the physical culture and the three forms right now, you know, mind, body, spirit. Dale, I got to laugh a lot of times, you know, and you hit it right on the head. What we see now it's pretty much, like you said, hooey. I was going to use a different word, but, let's be honest with each other. You do a roundhouse kick across the side of somebody's head, they don't usually get up, do they?
No.
Okay.
If you have training and you kick somebody in the head, yeah, they're going to go down and probably not going to get up very easily.
Yeah. Okay. I want to make sure I wasn't daydreaming because you see these guys jump up in air and they're doing flips and they come back at the guy, which is hilarious. But let's get into the real structure, the mind and the body and the spirit and the whole physicality of it. Tell everybody. How is the old time stuff structured when if I'm walking in for the first time and I'm meeting you and you're going to be whatever your title is as the instructor, all right? I walk in there. What is going to be the first thing for a brand new student to come upon with you?
Well, it's what you see in most schools is when you come in as a beginning student is we need to train your body. We have to inculcate the nervous system with various modes of movement.
Mm-hmm.
How to, you know, first and foremost is your structure. How do you stand? How do you hold your, you know, how do you hold your body up? Because a lot of people have horrific structure.
Yep.
And because they're looking down at phones and bending their neck on the internet and looking at computers, they look like birds.
Yeah.
They have this they look, you know, and so we have a joke in the acupuncture community. We say, oh yeah, we now treat like bird structure, bird body, because these people pull their hands in and push their head over their hands, and they look like vultures.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know.
I know, you know, one thing, too, I don't remember who I spoke to about this, too. It might have been an ART guy, active release technique. He was like, the advent of the computer, especially sitting in a cubicle all day, the amount, and I'm sure you come upon us being, doing, you know, an acupuncturist like that, round shouldered, headaches, back of the neck, the whole thing. You know, and when you're talking about when you're coming in to meet someone of your caliber and I need instruction, I totally, totally see what you're talking about because I'll tell you something. Lately, I've been so cognizant of, especially with the Sand Dude, when we talk about gait. How are you walking? Do you walk with your head down? You know, what I've noticed you know, I want to get right back to this, but I want to just tell you something, because I think if we've got time, we're going to get into this a little bit with the sand dune too, is this. What I've noticed, you know, after a heavy, hard squat works out, especially on your spine, the whole thing, sometimes you can have, I'm just talking me, sometimes initially you can have a tendency when you're done where your gait isn't real good right away. I mean, it's not like I'm spilling all over the place, but I can get going one way a little bit. And I've noticed just with doing different little exercises, it's like today, you know, I don't feel crippled up at all. My knees aren't cracking, anything like that. So I know gait is so essential. Now, when we talk about, obviously, we just made reference to people sitting in front of a computer all day. All right, so you have a student. Most people, unfortunately, we're in a computer world. If you're in any type of business, office, anything like that, you're going to be behind something, all right? All right, so they come in to see you. Hopefully, they're not the typical snowflake like a lot of these guys are now. And you can work with these people. So where do you go? What's the next step once we start getting that going?
Well, it's you have to think about, you know, in the beginning, everybody has to learn to stand, has to learn to shift their weight, has to learn to walk. Then we're going to learn to run. So in the beginning, it's basically just looking at people's, you know, baseline movements.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
You know, is your head over your shoulders, over your hips, over your legs? You know, in other words, we have these kind of, like a poem, we say the ear is above the shoulder is in line with the hip is in line with the knee is in line with the ankle. And if you draw a line through all these structures, well, you're standing straight up. Now, you're not extending your chest. You're not pushing your back. You know, you're just standing
right.
In a
standing
normal.
Yep, yep.
And a lot of people have trouble with this. And
yeah.
So we actually have exercises where we're just standing. You know, the feet are open up. The feet are about the same width as your shoulders.
Yep.
You bend the knees, and you basically just hold this posture, and then imagine you're hanging your muscles off your bones like meat off a hook.
Sure.
And so the Chinese masters, they have these sayings saying, you know, hang the meat, or, you know, let the muscles and tissues, you know, hang like a big leather coat on a coat rack. In other words, you need to start to learn to relax all your, you know, all your muscles so much. If you relaxed a little bit more, you'd fall on the ground. Now, this is learning. It's not learning to be soft. It's not learning to whatever these buzzwords that people have created. It is to train your body and your mind. It's to train your body to relax and to train your mind to be aware of where you are and what you're doing. In other words, we first have to learn what is the relationship between our two feet and the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because you talk about squatting and, you know, you talked about the sand dune. The sand dune is this device that is made out of some kind of foam, and it has dense layers and softer layers. So this thing has very strange, you know, it's a strange thing to kind of step on because your body's going to try to proprioception. And this is
there you go.
Thing.
Yep.
We need to do a lot more proprioception because it forces the brain to focus in and you know, kind of fine tune what's going on. So if you're having trouble walking or having trouble with some kind of physical movement, if you train with the sand dune, you're forcing the brain to go, wait a minute, what's going on here? And when the brain is focused in on the target, you're creating neurogenesis. You're actually going to make a neuron about what you're doing.
Yep, yep.
So in the long run, you're actually training your brain and your nervous system to function better.
That's real interesting you say that because we've been getting into that a lot. You're gonna love this. John Bruni, who's one of the main people involved in this project too, one of the first things Matt Dahl said to me was this. When you stand on a sand dune, close your eyes. And I'm like, I know it's going to happen because you're going to have a tendency to fall off it, basically, because you're not going to connect the way you should. Now, initially, I didn't fall off it, but it was moving me where if I didn't open my eyes quick, I would have dropped off the dune, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can do it now. I've had it 1 month. I can close my eyes without falling off and stand there. John Bruni has done it so much now, they're blindfolding him now and he can stand on it. Literally. All right? It's very interesting when you talk about that because we've been saying this. Dr. Bob Weil, who's on here regular, phenomenal guy. He's the one that introduced me to Matt Dahl because he felt that the people that I'm involved with would definitely be supercharged to find out about the sand dune. And I was telling Dr. Dale before he came on here what I'm doing now with my training. And yesterday with the dead stop squats, I wasn't sitting down at all, folks. I jump on the sand dune, 30 to 60 seconds, take a swig of water, go back in, load my bar, and take off and see what happened. I can tell you yesterday, if you don't believe there's a connection to your feet, to your brain, you never will. I was lighting that rack up, literally, all right? Now, we're going to find out because I'm going to train either Sunday night or Monday morning, and it's going to be a combination of dead stop squats going back to what I did yesterday, which was 407. Second set I opened at 407, and I've told everybody I'm going to open with a 500-pounder. That's what I'm working on right now. I'm telling you right now, between that and the stones, I'm going to have even a bigger barometer to see what's going on. But that's all, you know, when we talk about that connection and all the neurological things, especially with martial arts and stuff. All right, you know, one thing I want to, and I'll go right to you, Dale, because I want to hear what you say, because this will be very interesting. One thing we got to get out here, too, with the sand dune, and you see all the people that Matt's helped. What happens is connections break in your body, and this thing starts to pair everything back up together, repair it. And I'm not going to get into this. I'll probably tell Dale this offline. I've got a very big hypothesis I want to run with you at some point about this thing. It's very interesting. But let me ask you this. With the kung fu, with everything, and what you're doing with the dune and all, and, you know, now we've got people into it, and, you know, obviously everyone thinks that when you take, you know, especially the old style stuff, it's all going to be about fighting, but I know that's the furthest thing from it. But tell everybody, what is it about, what does that do to you spiritually? I mean, we're in there, we're working on the form, they're going to show you katas, we're going to be doing all kinds of great stuff. But what is it going to do to you spiritually that you could tell somebody, if you could tell them right off the bat, and I know we can't say the first day, but I know what you told me as a young kid, you know, overweight, the whole thing, and we talk about confidence here. What is one of the restorative factors you feel with Kung Fu?
The first and foremost was I learned about myself. I was comfortable being me,
mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of people would get into the martial arts because they're very uncomfortable. They're very confused.
Yep.
You know, and we're confused about who we are and how we deal with people. And so martial arts first and foremost taught me I'm a person, I'm an individual, and I can, you know, be comfortable in my own skin around others. And
yep.
That was the first lesson.
Yep. You know, we talk about the old-time kung fu. How has it changed in 2017, in your opinion? And obviously, I know you're a fan of the old stuff, especially I'm the same way, you know, when we talked, when we joined physical culture with it. How has it changed? Is it become more of just a assembly line for men, women, and children? What do you feel? Has it gone a direction you don't like, or is it better at some points? What's your feeling with that, Dale?
Well, of course, with anything, when you get into the commercialization of any kind of activity, look at bodybuilding. I mean,
yeah.
When we were kids, there
yeah.
were no gyms. Gyms were like in people's garages. Or
yeah. Yep.
Now you find gyms on every corner, 24-hour gyms, you know, women-only gyms,
yep.
you know, circuit training only. It goes on and on. So the same has happened to martial arts. Back in a day where somebody was learning a system of martial training, it was either in their family,
yeah.
their village, you know, their area, their city, and all the men were taught. Sometimes all the women were taught other systems because, you know, the men would go away for, you know, for work, and
yep.
who's protecting the house and the kids?
Yep.
You know, the moms.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's become commercialized. So you see schools where they're teaching. It's not really teaching the total training that they used to do. In other words, you know, they're just there for an hour a week. And, you know, you're learning a form for some belt or some rank. You know, and then you're going to go and you're going to learn these forms and you don't know what they're for, but they look pretty and you're jumping around the room and they have some physical, you know, benefit because you're, you know, you're, you're training, your cardio is getting trained in this, but you don't know what it's for. And then when you get into a tournament situation or a self-defense situation, you revert to some kind of, you know, basic essential kickboxing. In other words, you're not doing the moves that you're being taught in these supposed forms. You're actually, you're doing something very basic and very, you know, foundational.
Yeah.
So in other words, why learn all this material if you're just going to do foundational fighting? Why don't you just train the foundational fighting all the time and get very good at it?
No, I agree, because it's not lifestyle. It's just go in, we'll have tournaments, and we'll get it done. And it's the same way with physical culture. We've lost the lifestyle through a lot of the shenanigans that are going on now. You know, I don't know if I said this on the first show with you. You see what's out, you know, and you're part of Etched in Stone, and, you know, how dedicated I am to push stone lifting and sandbag lifting out, because I feel the benefits of it are second to none, and anyone can do it. I don't care who you are, you know.
Yeah.
And you know the same thing with martial arts. And here's the thing where we've gone wrong, and that's why we do M&M and why we stress these basics, foundational things, is this. Nothing, and I repeat, nothing will ever beat things like that. I'm a big believer, and coming from a family, even though I was a computer guy, all old Italians, a lot of Masons, things of that nature, I was always taught to use my hands, you know, wheelbarrows, digging gardens, all those things. And I believe, especially for kids, and I know it's a different world now, and a lot of kids don't want to do manual work like that, but I'll tell you what, you want to be good in lifting a stone, you want to be good in lifting a sandbag or lifting a barbell, when you're doing things where you're using head to toe all the time, I don't care who you are, you're going to get benefit from it. And it makes you a different style of individual mentally, and when we talk spiritually and physically, I don't think anything can touch it. I mean, I'll take round Atlas stones, my friend. I don't care how heavy they are. I've said before, it's 95 feet down, 95 feet back, and I roll them and get as low as I could. For anybody that's ever done a bear crawl, I almost try to do a bear crawl with an Atlas stone. Try that sometime and see what you feel like. You'll probably puke in the middle of the driveway. This is what I'm saying. But these are the things that, you know, when you talk about, and I'm going to give it right to you, when you talk about old-time kung fu, when we talk about the relationship of kung fu and physical culture, and we meld them all together, when you're doing stuff out there like that, that's going to give you the edge where when you go into a tournament, you're going to kick the snot out of an opponent. Go ahead, take it.
And we would do similar training. In other words, we have a lot of equipment training that we would use. In other words, we would take a 10-foot stick. It's 10 foot long.
Yep.
And you hold it on one end, and you actually start, you know, you push it away from you, and you start circling it, you know, so you make circles.
Yeah.
You swing it. It's kind of hard to swing a 10-foot stick. You know, you're going to have to kind of do it outside.
Yeah, definitely.
If you do that for 1 year, and your grip strength will increase at least 100%, if not more.
Yep.
You know, plus you're learning levers, because 10 feet away from your body, a stick, you're holding it up, your shoulders, wrists, hands, everything from your shoulder down is going to be as strong as steel, because you've been holding onto the stick and moving it around for a year.
Yep.
So people, we would use heavy, oversized weapons. It's not about fighting with this huge weapon. It's about you're using this large, oversized piece of equipment to entrain your body, to learn how to move your whole body. You know, so whatever movements you're doing, you would learn something with some kind of tool. You know, depending, is it a stick, is it a sword, is it a, you know, a solid iron bar, you know, and you would do circles, squares, triangles. It basically looks like weightlifting just done with different things.
Yeah, definitely. Tell everybody out there, though, this is what I people laugh with me a lot. Tell them, why do you need to go out and buy super expensive stuff? Because I've seen some of the stuff you have. Why can't you use crude things, learn how to build things, or have somebody build your design and use it? Because you and I both know, I mean, we see tons of maces out there, clubs, everything, okay? And, yep, they're high quality, good people. But for the people, you know, like yourself, myself, I started out with just a leaky set of sand weights and a wooden bench. Can they get the benefit of old-time kung fu with using basic implements, whether you become innovative or you go to a junkyard and find something? Yeah. And folks, don't laugh when I say that. You can find some of the best stuff in a junkyard you wouldn't believe. But take it away. Let everybody know. That's what I want, you know.
You can use everyday objects for your training objects. And I tell people, oh, you want to train your fingers? I go, well, next time you go to the shopping store, you know, the grocery store, when you come home, I want you to hang a bag on either one or two fingers of your hand.
Yep.
So whether you have a bag on every finger or you have a bag every two fingers, you're holding on using a grip. You're using a hook grip with your fingers. So guess what? You are training your finger strength.
Yep.
And if you do this once, twice a week, once a month, whatever, you know, you go to like Costco or BJ's, one of those bulk places, you have 100 bags. Okay. So instead of, you know, multiple trips, you're doing one huge trip. You know, go to the shopping mart. When you're putting all your things in your cart, what are you doing? You're pushing your cart. You're actually walking. So how about you walk around the store,
Yeah. Take
your time, and getting in some steps? No, cardio doesn't mean you got to go running. Cardio doesn't mean you got to go skip rope. Cardio doesn't mean you got to go run a marathon. It means get up, move, and get your body moving. So walking in the stores, you know, walk.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, go to the mall. You don't even have to go to the mall. Just go to the beach. Take a walk around your neighborhood. I walk around my house. I walk around my yard. I get at least 10 to 15,000 steps per day.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Look, you made the perfect point. Sand. Go walk in sand. Hold. You know what you can do? It's real cheap. Go out. You know, if you like to cook and make Italian food, go out and get I'm not advertising for them. I'm not getting at it, but I'll say it. I use Cento. That's the only tomato I use, San Pellegrino. Go out and grab the top of them with your five fingers. Pinch grip them. Go pinch grip cans that size and walk through the sand. I'm telling you right now, you can get a workout in yourself. We all know. Swim. Go out and swim. If you know how to swim, 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 swim. You want to use every muscle in your body. The point of the matter is, whether it's old-time kung fu married together with physical culture, because to me, everything is physical culture, you can't go wrong with anything like this. This is what it's about. You don't have to go out and spend $300 on something that you don't know how to use yet, that potentially, and I want to ask you this next, too, as I'm sure you've met many people, I have. How many people do you know that go out and buy equipment, maybe use it a half a dozen times, and there it is collecting dust? What do you think with that, Dale?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yep, yep.
I have friends that, you know, they have collections of things, and they don't use it. And then I have friends that have, you know, a smaller collection,
yep,
but it's well-used, well-oiled, you know.
Yep,
you can tell they're using it. You know, there's wear and tear.
Yep.
So are you a collector, or are you using your tools to their utmost potential that will then give you utmost potential in whatever you're training? And it doesn't matter, we're talking martial arts or any kind of physical culture.
Yep.
If you train it or train something, some kind of attribute, whether physical or mental, you know, endurance training, you know, we can, there's a whole, dude, we can have a great show about mental endurance training.
Oh, I know. That was going to be one of the next questions I wanted to ask you. I mean, because, you know, we go into this, especially a lot with Dr. Wong, about how people are, and obviously low testosterone, the whole deal, and the kids and everything now. Do you see any, I'm sure you have, but I want you to answer that. Is there a big difference in the kid of today as opposed to, say, 25 years ago? Have you seen, or what do you think?
I'm seeing a lack of physical culture.
Yeah.
I grew up in Massachusetts, you know, where your dad grew up, and we used to have to pass. We had to take 4 years of physical education. In other words, you had to take 4 years of high school gym class to graduate from Massachusetts high schools.
Yep.
I don't think that's the case anymore.
No, definitely not. You know why? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no. I was just that, you know, basically that's it, is that.
Yeah.
We're no longer held to a higher physical standard. You know, everybody's okay. Everybody gets a trophy.
Okay.
Maybe the bullying is a little less because, you know, people don't have to worry about requirements at all. But the other side of that sword is, you got people that have no physical awareness of their body, their mind, how to move, you know, and they get injured. They're klutzes, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, we did a show recently, Dr. Wong and I, about there was some stuff one day I heard on the radio, and I had to sit there for a second. And they're talking about, it was all males, and it was a regular MD. It might have come off one of those WebMDs. I don't remember. And I've heard so many things, and I'm not a big media guy, but, you know, I am media, and I am, you know, we're talking about some pretty serious things here at times. And, you know, these guys from, like, early 20s to about early 30s, you know, they can't get off the couch because all they're doing is texting. And this goes back to what you and I were just saying. You said they're physically unaware of everything going on. Now, that's the first serious indicator. The second one is, and I hear this all the time from people outside of the show, is a lot of these kids cannot communicate, cannot converse, cannot look in the eyes. My father told me, I'll never forget this among many things. My father told me, when you meet someone, there's two things you're going to be aware of right away, and I want you to always remember this, and they were this. How firm the gentleman's handshake is with you, and can they look you in the eyes? And my father said to me, if it's one or two or both, you turn around, excuse yourself for whatever you're doing, and that's the end of it, because he says you can never trust anybody that can't look you in the eyes. And these lessons are lessons that people need to know, need to learn. But here's the third factor. They want a girlfriend, but they have now become so introverted, they don't even know how to communicate with a female, or vice versa. But this was all males they were talking about. But here's the thing that shocked me more than anything, and I had read about this a few years back. I think it was in the Wall Street Journal. They're not worried, though, because you can get a virtual girlfriend. And I said, if that's already where we are, what does that say about humanity at this point? And you and I are talking here about physical culture. You know, Dr. Wong's on here, and I want to ask you, you know, he's talking about hanging rocks in a bag and they're punching them till their knuckles break, all right? What, you know, and I'm sitting here listening to these, I don't know what they are. They've got a million names for them, whatever. I don't even care, all right? And I'm listening to that, and I'm saying to myself, Dale, Dr. Wong, Eric, oh, I don't know if I can get a girlfriend, so I'm going to go virtual. Tell me, man. I mean, your humanity, like, you know, we come from a different cloud, obviously. But what does that say now in 2017?
That humanity is doomed? Interacting with a machine and anything virtual, it's not real.
No.
It's fake.
Yeah. Yeah. But do you see, you know, it was very interesting today. Our local paper here really leans in a different way. And they were talking about, all types of stuff with the climate. And they want to now institute this starting from first grade in school. And there's a lot of public outcry about it because they know where a lot of these teachers lean. And they feel that they're going to bring in their own personal views on all this climate change. Whether you believe it or not, that's your decision. But I don't want this stuff taught in schools, especially when they have a spin from whoever's teaching it. If you want to teach people how to be, learn how to be conservationists, learn how to respect the land, learn how to respect a lot of things. But you know what I think we need to learn more than ever? How about learning how to respect one another?
Yeah.
Seriously. Totally. Because I seem to hear and see everything that is void of that. You go places, you know, I see how a lot of people are. You know, you have people that, you know, they'd slam a door right in front of you, or they're just vulgar and things of that nature. That concerns me more than if it's going to rain, you know, during January here rather than 10 feet of snow. So, you know, with your discipline, and I want to go into this, and you can comment on this right away. This is very interesting with the Kung Fu and our physical culture and all that, because one of the things I learned right off the get-go from the older guys, because when you're wise with the older guys at the old YMCAs, I got my ass kicked many times there. And they weren't afraid to do it. Whack you right across the head, man. And you learn pretty quick. But this is what I'm seeing right now. Lack of discipline everywhere. So let's go into Kung Fu. Let's talk about the discipline, because we know if you don't have discipline, obviously you're going to fail miserably. But if you are not disciplined enough, especially when whomever your instructor is, you'll pay for that dearly. So comment on Anthony Dale, but let's talk about discipline of everything now.
Well, discipline, it's one of the benefits of actually training in a martial art. And a lot of the parents put their kids in a program because they're, you know, a lot of parents don't want to be the bad guys.
Right, right.
So they're going to hire a karate instructor or a martial art instructor of some kind to be the bad guy or the bad girl, depending on who they are. So, you know, and my parents, your parents, you know, their generation, they did not have a problem putting that line in the sand and saying, okay, this is the rules. This, you know, them's the rules. You don't like them. My dad would laugh and go, you don't like the rules. There's the door.
Yep.
He was serious.
Yeah.
He wasn't kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. My parents, my mother, well, my father used to say, but more my mother, we love you to death, but we're not your friends. Okay? And that was a big deal, because they would give you anything, but like when you said they draw the line, that was the line, man. There were certain things that were expected of you every day. Make your bed. If you were asked to do something, it was probably pretty smart to do it, because if my pop got home, you didn't want to face off with him after a day of work. I can tell you that. Plus, they had the constant pressure, you know, Jimmy. I mean, every day, you know, you have a son that is in a wheelchair. And it's a constant worry. And, you know, I know that, you know, we had pushed them many days, probably almost right over the edge, you know, where it could get pretty caustic around here. But, you know, you got to realize, man, you know, I know I've had a lot of my friends say this, and a couple of girls I know too. Well, you know, I don't think my parents were that good to me. You know, they didn't understand me. I said, you know what? Every one of us back in the day came from a pretty large family. Most of the kids that I grew up with, they were a minimum of four or five to a household. Now, think about that. Most kids in today, most people in today's world, maybe you have a kid or two. I mean, you know, you're not going to ever see those families like that. And I said to a couple people one day, did you have a safe home? Yep. Did your mother and father treat you well? Well, yeah, most of the time. I said, were you clothed? Did you have food all the time? Yes. I said, then how bad did you have it? How bad did you have it? When you can live in a safe environment, you have a mother and father there that love you, and you have other siblings, nothing's ever perfect. And the thing is, I think in today's world, the sale with everything is, oh, it's got to be perfect. Oh, if they don't do this and that for you, they're bad parents. Bullshit, man. I look at, you know, we had five kids in my family, and I look at what my mother and father did, and maybe I didn't agree with them on everything, but let me tell you, man, I will be the first thing when we talk about gratitude. I mean, you want to talk about gratitude? I thank every day that, you know, we don't have my father here in a physical sense anymore. My mom's here with us. You talk about lucky. Holy shit. Was everything perfect? Would have been, maybe this turned out different. Maybe, but who knows? Who cares? You know, the whole idea with life is to take what you got, answer the bell, man, and keep going. Dream. I wrote this the other day on the blog about dreams. If anything in your life, keep dreaming bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and things are going to happen. But go ahead, my friend, take it.
Yeah. Again, looking at everything we've been talking about, you know, we're looking at a generation of people that they can't stand up, they can't walk down the street, they can't, you know, they can't research anything without a computer or the internet. It's like they can't read, they can't write, you know, I'm a big fan of cursive writing.
Yeah.
I handwrite it. And, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm not as, you know, people look at me and then they see my handwriting and they go, wait a minute. You want that? And I go, what? I can't have beautiful handwriting? They're like, no. And I'm like, what do you mean no?
Wow. Yeah. Well, that shows you. That shows, see, and it's nothing against anybody, you know, but that kind of shows, like, how limited are you mentally at that point? When you can't, you know, this is what I find. There's so many people are so quick to throw you in the fire, but there's so little of them that will basically stand by you. I've noticed this, you know, especially with business. You're a businessman. You know, how many times when the fire got real hot, how many people stuck around, man? Not many. You know, they want to be around only success or however they deem success. And you go and ask, go out and ask a guy, you know, we'll ask him when he comes back on, Matt Fury.
Yeah.
Ask him how many failures he's had.
Yeah.
And or ask Dale, I'm sure, ask me. I'm failing every day here, all right? I'm doing everything I can to build two monster companies. And the thing is, with most people, you know, when we're talking about old kung fu, we're talking about the physical culture. It's called commitment, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. It doesn't matter if Dr. Wong takes you by the river and sticks your head in the river 100 times to see if you can withstand it without drowning or you crack. It doesn't matter. The idea is if you can't commit to someone, something, or whatever it is you want to do the rest of your life, don't bitch and complain when Dale's making $1 million a year, Eric's making $1 million a year, and you're making a lousy 30 grand. All right? Don't. Because you know why? You have not decided yet to build from within to without, to take a dream, keep living it, keep pushing it. Do not take no for an answer. Get knocked on your face and stand up 1,000 more times, all right? Go ahead, man. I'm getting very fired up.
No, it's we have a, you know, we've got a famous saying from, you know, from Asia. We say, fall down 7, get up 8. In other words, we don't give up.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and that's what I love about the whole idea with Kung Fu and everything we're talking about here. I don't know if people realize it, but to me, even with the physical culture, with the weights and everything outside, I got to tell folks, there's nothing like feeling physical. Oh, my God. You know, like yesterday, it was just outstanding. It was one of those days. It was much cooler here. You got out there. Your lungs felt so robust. You were introducing two new things to training, et cetera, et cetera. But I love the discipline. I love the feeling of the enjoyment, the passion of it. That's what really drives me with everything, because it's like it's this internal fire that you just keep building, and no matter what happens, is, you know, Dale said, fall down 7, get up 8. You know what I mean? It's this philosophy. It's a standard of living. It's things that you cultivate your whole life. This doesn't happen in a week, 90 days, as I say. It's decades and decades of your life. It's fulfillment. Look, we all have huge goals. Everybody knows the stones I want to go lift. You don't think I'm thinking about that right now. It's always in the back of my mind somewhere revolving. It's always revolving in my heart. It always is, no matter what I'm doing. And you know what I think the best about all this stuff joined together, and I love all the old school stuff better than anything, all right? I'll tell you this, like when we talked about the dreaming and the ability to keep dreaming things bigger and bigger. But you know what the greatest satisfaction is? It's all the work outside, man. Knowing that there's going to be a day I'm going to jump on Icelandic air. We're going to hit Iceland first. Then we're going to Scotland. Then we're going to Wales. And then we're going to Ireland. Because Stevie Shanks, everybody knows his father, Jack Shanks. I believe he was the second guy since Donald Denny, way back in the 70s, to lift the Denny stones. Well, they have the Shank stones there, which are even bigger than the Denny. So figure that out. And he was nice enough to invite me to Ireland for a week. So that's what I'm talking. That's a crash course in nature right there. Take it away, Dale. A lot of stuff.
Nature. every day if it's not too hot, because again, I live in Florida. Yep. During the summer, it's brutally humid, but I get up early before the sun comes up and I get outside. Why? Fresh air.
Yeah. Yep.
People are living in boxes with air conditioning and filters. It's not fresh air. It's not ionized. It's been depleted of things, let alone what else you got in your house, what kind of chemicals and whatever. So anyway, get out, take a walk, walk the dog, you know, sit out on your porch, your patio. Like Eric talked about at the beginning of the show, deep inhale in, and then as you exhale, you want to just, you know, look around. Where are you? What are you doing? I'm here, and I'm breathing in the essence of life, air, oxygen, whatever you want to call it, prana, chi. You know, there's all these different words, but it's that.
Yeah. In.
That first, yep. That first breath of the day, man, and it's like, you know, I'm good. Now, of course, now I want coffee, but that's after training.
That's fine. That's a good thing. You know, I've been listening to a lot of stuff. A friend of mine sent me, The Theater of the Mind, you know, when Matt re-recorded a lot of Maxwell Maltz's stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. I was going to tell you offline, but I'm going to tell everybody this. I've been doing more visualization on the sand dune than I ever have in my entire life.
Excellent.
And I'll tell you why. Once again, we talk about the feet to the brain, right, folks? Huh?
Yep.
Everybody said, I'm going to tell you right now that linkage is like you wouldn't believe it. I'll tell you how it's set up. I have two sand dunes, so I can play around with them. The sand dune is looking through a big window in our family room, right out to the FBC stone and steel yard. So what do you think I'm sucking in every morning with the window wide open there and me my visualization of, well, I'll tell everybody what I'm doing shortly, but it's pretty amazing what I'm doing. This is the first year, obviously, I didn't put a garden in. I would be looking at my garden, but due to having rain every weekend and lots of it, it just was not possible this year because even the farmers here have suffered. The thing that's done the best is my apple trees, and we're talking about a big apple crop this year. So it's a trade-off. You know, we give and we take. We give and we take. As everybody knows, they call it yin and yang. Whatever it is. But what I'm saying, Dale, is that's something, if you haven't done it, you ought to do it. It is absolutely incredible when you've got that under your feet and your visualization is just incredible with that. It is just so deep. And as I said, I'm able to close my eyes more and more with this, and what you're seeing is just dynamite. So go ahead, comment on any of that.
It's incredible because you talked about the brain being connected to the feet. When I teach old-time Kung Fu training, the first thing we learn is footwork training. And people go, why do I need to learn how to move and position my body? I go, well, this is going to activate your brain and teach you how to remember when you're in a physical, you know, altercation or a self-defense situation.
Yep.
There's certain things you got to do. And we're actually going to do like a physical mnemonic device through the footwork and through these motions.
Yep.
Well, if you didn't move the feet, you wouldn't be inculcating that into your brain.
Yep. Well, we were talking all about proprioception too on the show, especially with Matt. I mean, this is something that people really need to get a hold of, learn. They need to know what's going on. You know, I love when Matt talks about when he does a lot of home visits. And a lot of elderly people will be, maybe they've had surgery, maybe they're, you know, we talk about the gait, all that. They're not real steady, so they end up going on walkers. And Matt said the first thing he does is he brings them into the kitchen, puts them on the sand dune, and has them hold on to a kitchen counter. He's had phenomenal success as people get off the walkers, man. You know, look, the bottom line is here. No matter what it is, Kung Fu, weight, stones, you know, and a lot of people don't know, you know, a lot of martial arts people did stone work, but, you know, and we'll get into that in a moment, and a lot of stuff you don't hear about, but that's why we're talking about a lot of the older school stuff. But, you know, when we talk about Kung Fu, when we talk about the older styles, you know, we talk about dips, pullovers, you know, breathing squats, things of that nature. You know, we talk about the essence, the breath of life. These are the things that hopefully as you age, because of what you've done for all these years and you're still doing it, it'll keep you off a walker. It'll keep you, hopefully, I hope you can stay home, everybody, till your last breathing days. I always say I'm going to live to 100 and I'm going to drop dead on the platform, squatting 250 pounds on my back. Goodbye. What a great way to go, man. I'll be in the heavens before you know it, before dinner. That's what I'm saying. When you live your life like that, when you live a disciplined, committed life, when you build standard after standard, write your own damn book. Write your own book. 10 reasons for my standards. I'm giving everybody an idea. Go out and write something like that. And don't think that you can't do it. And don't think that it's going to sound like shit. Because chances are there's going to be probably a million people that are going to hop right on that. So that's what I'm saying with everything. These modalities, or I don't even know if I want to call them that. These ways of life, I'm going to say kung fu, physical culture, the keys to a successful life. You live them, you breathe them, and you die for them. How many times have you read things Dr. Wong with the warrior, things Dale has, or I write, or anybody? There's always a reference to something that is going to get you to do multiple things, live multiple ways, but ways that mean something, and then eventually, maybe you go into battle. Maybe you succeed, maybe you die by the sword. I'd much rather go that way than be some old guy that can't move and is in a bed getting bed sores every day. That is not the way Eric will go. Take it away, Dale.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, that's not living. You're alive, but you're not living. Living is, you know, getting out, walking, moving, running, enjoying, jumping. What do you like to do? Go do it.
Yeah.
Life is short. If you want to go somewhere, go if you can.
Yeah.
If not, plan, save, you know, GoFundMe, you know, outsource. I mean, what, guys? There's multiple ways to get what you want. It's just you have to really sit down and ask yourself some serious questions.
Yep.
What
yep.
is it? What do I want? And so for some people, they can't answer that question. I'm lucky. I got involved in this stuff as a kid when you know, growing up, and it just I took to it like a duck to water.
Yeah, you know what it is, Dale. It's when you get into it when you're young, and anybody can get into things. Okay, but you're young. You don't have the pressures of a family or a 9-to-5 job. If you really understand the totality of what you're doing and you stay with this forever and ever and ever. You know, that's why you're where you are. That's why I'm where I am. It was starting at a very young age, not knowing really what you're doing, but eventually you find the circle you belong with, whether it's a temporary thing or just something, as I say, to build the basics, to build the foundation. And let's face it, eventually, yeah, you like to train with different people. Hey, you're with Matt, all that. I've got some people I like to train, but I'll be honest with you. The best teacher was to go out and teach yourself. You have, but you also have to be a person of that mentality. And by that, I mean this. Not everybody is like that. Okay. Some people need to be trained to be guided. That's okay. You know, I've had people come over here. You know, I've designed a number of pieces of equipment here. Why did I do it? Well, I wanted to see, number one, if it could be pulled off. But a lot of the reasons why I do it is I train alone. I need to have safety. And that was one of the big things. And a lot of stuff I'm doing, a lot of people aren't going to do it. I know that. They're not going to see. What I've butted heads with people about, mainly with my stuff, is this. They'll ask you, well, why would you do that, or what's the benefit of it? And I say to them like this, can't you just live on faith and go and do it? And they look at me like I got 15 heads on my shoulder. And my thing is this, Dale, and then I'm going to give it to you, and you can summarize and give all your stuff out. Sometimes you have to live on blind faith, but you know, also too, you have to be willing to take the chance to see where this is going to take you. And that's when I say like a leap of faith. And I've done more in my life on a leap of faith than I think anything out there. So summarize anything you want, give out your info, I'll give mine out, and if you'd hang on the line, please, we'll get ready and we'll do another show again.
Well, first and foremost is like what we have been talking about today is looking at training, whether it doesn't matter if we're looking at a training system in Asia or in Europe, getting up and moving is going to, it's not just healthy. This whole thing about health, it's something you should be doing every day as a matter of course. You know, we don't, you know, people sit in cars, they sit in traffic, they sit all day. Walk. And I tell them, you don't have to walk around your block, walk around your office, walk around your house, walk around, you know, your yard. If you don't have a yard, you know, oh, it's hot during the day. Walk at night. Oh, it's hot during the night, during the day, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's always an excuse. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I go, life is short and the time we have on this planet is short.
You're not kidding.
Yeah. Get up, move, or you're going to die. Yep. You're going to die. You're going to die earlier rather than later. And you're going to die sick and ill versus, you know what? I'm going to go to bed and pass. And hey, I'm going to collect my $200 because I passed out. Right?
Sure. Okay. Yep. That's not a way to live. And that's surely not a way to survive. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's just the core of all of this is we have to move. And, of course, moving slowly at first, learning physical, you know, physicality and physical culture is a learning curve as well. We need to learn these exercises. And then once you learn them, then you can go off on your own and just, okay, now you have that foundational training. Go to your advanced training is by yourself. You've got to figure out, hey, can I do this? Can I do that? How do I do this? What equipment do I need? You made your – you said, hey, wait a minute. I need some safety for myself when I'm doing these things. So you came up with ideas. The same way in old-time Kung Fu, you have to figure out what are you trying to do and what tool is needed, you know. And a lot of people think, oh, I need a lot of tools. No, actually, you'd be surprised you could do it with everything you find around your house.
Yeah, yep.
Not like everybody can make a power rack out of things around their house.
That's no. Yeah, exactly.
But the concept is you have to learn something, and that takes, you know, a mental discipline, not just a physical discipline. And then as you get more into whatever the, you know, what it is you're doing, you know, the physical activity, you're going to notice a lot of people, they get really into it, and they don't, you know, it's not an obsessive thing. It's more, they just really enjoy what they're doing in the training. So then they get really into it. You know, they go running, you know, they're hitting personal records. Why? Because they've merged, you know, the mental and the physical. And that's what I want to talk about, is that physical training isn't just physical training. There's a mental component, and mental training needs physical. We need both.
You need
yin and yang. You need the alpha and the omega. You need day and night. You need the opposite of what you're doing to complete your existence. You know, and so that's something we can go into in depth, you know, in other shows. But
definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, what are you doing? Where are you? What are you doing? Where are you going? Those are the three questions you have to ask yourself.
Yep. I agree. What else you got, brother?
Well, if anybody's interested, you know, I offer acupuncture treatments here in the Tampa Bay area. You know, I'm in downtown Tampa, and I also do house calls. You can call me at 813-285-1895. That's my cell. You can call or text. Again, 813-285-1895. You can also visit my website, dealdugas.com. You can also visit oldtimekungfu.com. See, I'm not just an acupuncture physician. I'm also a martial art instructor.
Jeez, so you mean we got somebody that walks the talk?
I do talk, you know, I can talk the talk and walk the walk, and I can talk the walk and walk the talk.
I love it. What else you got, my friend?
Well, if anybody's interested or needs help, please give me a call. I'm here to help people. It's not about beating people up. It's about helping people in whatever they need. And that doesn't mean acupuncture or martial arts. If somebody needs a referral for something else, let me know. You never know who I know and what I can be a service of to you.
I agree. Plus, not only that, you've heard Dale talk here. I'm sure he would talk to you if you had a question. You know, Dale, I find one thing. There's an awful lot of people out there that are searching, and there's an awful lot out there that are very lost. And I think it's up to all of us here and everybody else out there. If you've got that type of strength, man, you need to pass that on to people. They really need it, you know. And we do everything we can to do that. It's vital. Is there anything else you need to give out, my friend?
No, again, my phone number for anybody who has any question about anything I do or needs help with something, you know, and I can be of service, 813-285-1895.
Okay.
Website, again, is daledugas.com, oldtimekungfu.com. You know, I offer seminars and workshops at your location. You know, I do online training, basically schools without walls. I have students all over the world.
Nice.
You know, and then I have students come visit me when we have to do the application training, because, of course, application means you have to do it against an opponent.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. Yeah. Oh, this is Motivation Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com, winner circle, win, win, win. That's what it's all about. But when you win, you learn all the basic things we talked, the foundation, the mental attitude, the commitment, the tenacity, the discipline. You want a product that gives it and delivers it, you want the winner's circle. FiorellaBarbellCo.com. We talked about contributions. You know, I'm not going to keep beating a dead horse. If you would like to give, it would be much appreciated. I know that a lot of people are tight with money. But, and I mean in a different way where, you know, sometimes times are a little tough for everybody. But if you'd like to invest in 30 years, I guarantee you, you're going to have the best 30 years of your life. And we thank you in advance for anything. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, /category/podcast. Dale, he's got two now with me and we'll be doing many more. As I said, go out there. There's close to 800 podcasts already out there, and it's every genre. There is big things everywhere, and we're going to have bigger and bigger things down the road, believe me, as we go. Like I said, this is going to become a national radio show down the road. Watch. This is just the beginning, believe me. Also, too, if you sign up for a free newsletter, go out to motivationmuscle.com. Go right up below Patreon, click on there. That is the only place you can sign up because that goes to the MailChimp account. If you're signing up anywhere else, I'm not getting it. So that's it for that. Next, also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. We appreciate it. Also, all the new cars have the capability to get podcasting in them. Go out to AHA, that's A-H-A. That directory has Motivation Muscle streaming radio 24/7. You can get us in your car 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and that's a hell of a way to go. If there's a show you like Dr. Dale Dugas and I to do, go out to FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com, and I'm sure we can come up with anything. And I'll leave you with all these things. If someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, 5 words will inspire you for the rest of your life, and they could make or break you. Don't ever forget that. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile for that day. That might be all the contact they get. Think about that. It's even more it's even more so in today's world where there's so many people that are just so disconnected. Also, too, if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, pull it, press it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as a great Hoose of Steel stone crusher says, in blood red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. You can bet there is, and there's going to be much more of a buildup, I'm telling you. Frank Klein, my greatest college business professor, repetition, repetition, repetition. And he was the one that I wrote the article on the other day, American. He would put that up every day and have ICAN in caps with a big square around it. What does that say, folks? I can. Remember that. My dad, be a leader. Not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my greatest chiropractor ever. It was 3 years the other day. We lost him to cancer. He'd walk every patient to the door and say, keep smiling. Say that to yourself repeatedly. Say it to yourself on your best or worst day. You will smile from ear to ear. And I'm very proud I can keep that going, John's legacy. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to blow your door in. We're going to blow the roof off your house. Join the family. Join the revolution. I promise you, you're going to have 30 years like you can't even imagine. And you got kids, bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in now. It's time to get the support and the big stone rolling, let me tell you. Also, too, Les Brown, you all have greatness in you, but we'll take it two steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And who would say that? Not many in today's world. And as I always say before we sign off, a few things here. Men, get rid of the nine-month belly. Get rid of the spare tire. You got sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, friends. They're always watching you. Believe me. There's someone always watching you how you conduct yourself. Is anybody perfect? No. But I'm telling you right now, as my dad said, better to lead than follow. There's no doubt about it. Men, treat your women with respect and support them. Women, do the same thing for your men. Support them. And don't let these vampires put a wedge between the two of you. We need you. We want you to be part of the family. Stay with us. Join us and spread motivation and muscle. Dale, thank you. It's always an honor to have you on. It was a great show, brother.
It was an incredible show. Thank you again.
Anytime.
It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. I am blessed and grateful to have you in my life, Eric. Just let me know if I can ever be of service, and if there's ever a need, just let me know.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate all those kind words, and this is why we are great here. This is why we are extraordinary, not ordinary. When you have people like Dale on here and so many others, you hear the heartfelt stuff when we talk. It's not an act. It's authentic. Remember that in your life. Always be authentic. Make the choices to be a winner. And remember this before I sign off. You're all winners and you're all champions. Approach life like that every day, and I guarantee you you'll have whatever you want. Have a great weekend, everybody. And for Dale Dugas, this is Eric Fiorello. We only want the best for you. Stick with us. I'm telling you, you're in the battlefield of your life, and we march right side by side with you. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.